appreciation of the rose without the thorns, is there? The thorns that Jesus wore for us. Thank you, ladies. I really appreciate that. It was beautiful. Take your Bibles again, please, and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 2. Matthew, chapter number 2. And we've read the verses there. Matthew, chapter 2. Several phrases there that are important to us that we'll look at in a few minutes. This morning I want to speak about following and fulfilling God's will. Following and fulfilling God's will. Galatians 4:4 tells us, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, under the law. When the fullness of time was come. Throughout the history of mankind since the fall, God's will has been being followed by many different people, all in view of fulfilling God's will, particularly as it pertains to the Lord Jesus Christ. History, the story of Christmas, pertains to people in the Bible used of God to follow His will, resulting in the fulfillment of His will. And so we want to talk about that this morning. Following and fulfilling God's will. Let's pause for a moment of prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we call upon You today and pray for the power of the Holy Spirit. Take our thoughts, use them for Your honor and glory. Minister to our hearts. May Your word have free course. May the Holy Spirit have liberty to do a work in us. There's a likelihood that there's somebody, one or two or three, here this morning that really don't know 100% sure that they've been born again. And Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit would work in our hearts today. Fill me, use me, bless Your word, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Following and fulfilling God's will. You think of history, the history of the Bible, and I'll take the history of the Bible over any other history, amen. When you take the history in the Bible, you know, we see, of course, I'll go back as far as Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and Noah followed God's will, and it was against unlikely things. It had never rained, and he followed God's will, built an ark to prepare people against a great flood that was going to happen. He followed God's will and fulfilled God's will in building that ark, as we talked about last Sunday, picturing the safety that we have from God's wrath and judgment in the Lord Jesus Christ. Noah followed and fulfilled the will of God. Abraham was told to leave Ur of the Chaldees, Babylon, the region of Babylon. He was told to leave Ur of the Chaldees and go to a place that God would show him. And we sometimes want to know everything, every detail God has for us, and God just does not work that way. You know, God doesn't answer to me or to you. Amen? And so God told Abraham to go to Ur of the Chaldees, or from Ur of the Chaldees, to go to a land that He would show him. And of course, that land was the great land of promise, the land of Canaan. And God promised that He would make of Abraham a great nation. And God made a promise that through the seed, singular, of Abraham, He would bless all the families of the earth. Abraham followed the will of God, and in doing so was fulfilling the will of God. David followed the will of God. In fact, there's a verse in the book of Acts that tells us that David served his own generation in the will of God. What better statement could be said about anybody? Wouldn't that be a great epitaph? He served his generation in the will of God. And that was David. He was a man after God's own heart. And that's epitomized in that phrase, he served his generation in the will of God. His heart was to do the will of God. to follow God's will. And in doing so, he fulfilled the will of God. Isaiah was a man, a prophet, that followed the will of God. And what a man of God. As I've mentioned, this time of year, I like to read through the book of Isaiah. I just finished chapter 66 this morning. But what a wonderful prophet Isaiah was. And God used him as he followed God's will. God used him in the fulfillment of his will, giving prophecies that were yet to be fulfilled in Christ then. The other prophets followed the will of God. Jonah kind of had to have a little encouragement, didn't he? Kind of like us, we say no the first time and God drops us in the whale for a few days and nights, and then we say, okay, you know, I'd be willing to go. And then I think, of course, Christmas time of Joseph was a man who evidently wanted to follow the will of God, and in doing so, fulfilled it. Mary, I don't deify Mary, the Bible doesn't. She rejoiced in God, her Savior. She saw her need of a Savior. She was not sinless. But Mary was one who followed the will of God and fulfilled the will of God in doing so. Think of the shepherds, just minding their own business, watching the sheep, following God's will for their life. And in doing so, they ended up fulfilling God's will too. And what would Christmas plays be without the shepherds? God knew we needed them. And then the wise men, I love the phrase, it's down in our hallway, wise men still seek him, amen? They were following the star. Following and fulfilling God's will. Everything about the birth of Jesus Christ touches the matter of the fulfillment of the will of God. Joseph and Mary, as we know, were committed to God as a couple before marriage, doing the right thing. Thank God they didn't take liberties that people in our generation do. I'm not at my usual pulpit. I have an amen thing I could lift up here. Okay? They were espoused to be married, which was quite a binding thing. But they had not yet known each other because it wasn't time. Amen? Something our generation needs to hear about again and again and again. There's no virtue in doing the carnal thing before marriage. And I'll say amen myself. Mary and Joseph were committed to God. They were committed to the principles of his word. They were committed to the covenant of marriage, committed to each other, to the institution of the family, to the house of God. Mary and Joseph were a great example of a young couple, very young couple, that were committed to the Lord himself. And they were committed in following God's will for their lives and ended up fulfilling God's will in ways they never probably dreamed would happen. So today I want to look at Joseph and Mary as it relates to following and fulfilling God's will. God's will is that which God has planned to perform or accomplish. God's will is that which God has planned to perform or accomplish. In Isaiah, God reminds the children of Israel, he is the only true God, and he's the God that says it before it happens. God isn't prophetic. He's omniscient. He gives prophecies to men so that we can know what he already knows. God's will is that which God has planned to perform or to accomplish. The will of God, as it pertains to people, concerns how God uses people to accomplish his will. Many times people say, you know, find the will of God for you. Like everybody has this little niche that's their will of God. And it doesn't work that way. God has his will and he plugs in usable people in accomplishing that will. The will of God as it pertains to people concerns or relates to how God is using people to accomplish his will. We know that Joseph and Mary had a great part in fulfilling the will of God. Amen. But it's important to see how that was accomplished in a practical way. First, there was the important aspect of just simply following God's will. Following God's will. Following God's will comes first in the attitude of surrender to God's word. Following God's will comes in the attitude of surrender to God's word. God's will is not some mystical experience revealed in some strange way. God's will is revealed through his word to us today. We have the 66 books of the Bible. I believe that 99% of the will of God for your life is penned in the pages of the Bible today. Mary and Joseph were people that had an attitude of surrender to the word of God, following God's will by surrendering to what God said. Remember Mary, when she was told that she would bring forth a child of the Holy Ghost, she questioned how could that be, her not knowing intimately a man. And then she said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." That's surrender. And in following the will of God, we have to come to the place where we yield, where we surrender, where we submit to God's authority, place ourselves in order under him, under his word, what he wants for us to do. Joseph surrendered to the word of God as he understood it, and in a compassionate way. If you take your Bible, just look back at chapter 1 real quick. In Matthew chapter 1, it says that, verse 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Notice there in verse number 19, where it says that Joseph was a just man, not willing to make her a public example, minded to put her away privily, and thought on those things. Joseph had an attitude of submission to God. He wanted to do what was right to do in his circumstance according to the word of God. His understanding was she had been untrue, and he wanted to take care of it, but he didn't want to make a big show of it. He wanted to have her put away privily. But he thought about it, was contemplative. I know what God's word says, but what should I do and how should I go about it? You know, so many times people look at something that's difficult in the word of God and they say, I can't do it. No, stop and think. Lord, how do you want me to apply this in my life? Joseph did that. And while he did, the angel of the Lord spoke to him. But we see with Joseph that attitude of surrender to what God's word said. Joseph was a just man, one who did right and said, I'm going to do right in this circumstance. That's vitally important in a Christian life. We also see them following the Lord in proper submission to government in the story. They went to Judea from Nazareth because the government said they needed to take a census. Now, she was quite far along. She was, you know, jutting out. My dad used to say, on the level, the bubble in the middle, right? And she was ready to have child, but the government said you need to go there for the census. We tend to think, you know, I'll obey as long as it's conducive for me. We need to be surrendered even to human authority in doing the will of God. They traveled almost 100 miles, 90 plus, anywhere from 95, 97, 100. It'll be different, but they traveled that far with her expecting a child to obey the government. You know what? When we do things the government wants us to do, if it's not contrary to the word of God, we are, in essence, submitting to God. Amen? Paul was used of God to write to be in submission to those in authority, and Nero was in power. We don't have a Nero. Amen? So they, following the will of God and surrendering to God's word and following even human government or human authority, there's divine authority, that's God himself, and there's delegated authority, that's the human authority that God places in our lives. It's so important following the will of God that young people, young Christians learn to listen to and follow those that God has placed in their pathway in leadership position. And then also we see them surrendered in the special leading of God. The special leading. The angels appear to them. And after the birth of Christ, and tell them they need to go into Egypt. And they stayed there till God led again. And then the angel appeared and told them to go back to Israel, we read. And they did. And then out of uneasiness of his own spirit and guidance of the Holy Spirit, then they were led up to Nazareth. And each time we read there in the passage, it was following, resulting in fulfilling. People might have a tendency to think, well, you know, we just had a baby. That's asking too much for us to go down to Egypt. I want the baby to live. Besides that, I said, out of Egypt have I called my son. Well, you know, it's awful hard for us to make that extra trip. Well, following the will of God results in the fulfillment of the will of God. Don't dictate to God the terms of your fellowship. When God is leading by his word and other circumstances, follow God's leading because God knows why and where and what. They came back to Nazareth again, fulfilling the word of God. They followed the will of God as it led and where it led, and the wise were in God's department. If you would, look at verse number 13 again with me. Chapter 2 and verse 13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee in Egypt. Well, he's the son of God, isn't he? Yes, flee to Egypt. and be thou there until I bring thee word. And then notice verse 14. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt. Verse 15. Was there until the death of Herod, that it might be what? Fulfilled. The following was them for them to surrender to. The fulfilling was for God to do. And then if you notice in verse number 19, but when Herod was dead, an angel of the Lord appeareth unto Joseph in a dream in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. So they moved again. Following, verse 21, he arose and took the young child and his mother and came to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea, in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. So he had inner uneasiness, notwithstanding being warned of God, now spiritual guidance, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Joseph and Mary, outwardly and inwardly, followed the will of God, surrendered in their hearts and taking steps in their lives, just following what God said for them right then. And the result was that when they did, God's will, the big picture, was being fulfilled as they followed. We do not see all that God is doing when we take steps in God's will. We don't see all the impact that it may have. We don't see all the influence that it will have. When we do what God wants us to do, we can believe that God, as we follow His will, is fulfilling His will in a broader realm. Mary and Joseph did not plan their lives as they had wished. Can you imagine them? We're going to be married 12 months from now. We'll be married. And what we're going to do is, first thing we're going to do is, you're going to have a child before we get married. Let's see, we're going to take a trip just about when you're ready to deliver. You ready to go? I just want to do this, honey. I think it'd be great for us. And we're going to go down, have the baby in Bethlehem, by the way, maybe in a cave, and where the animals eat. Don't mind that. And then after he's born, we're going to take a trip down to Egypt. Somebody's going to kill him, try to kill him. You don't plan these things. And when we follow the will of God step by step, we don't know all the little circumstances that are going to come up. We just follow God's will. We just do what He says. The circumstances are a moot point to us in a way. But God uses them in the overall fulfillment of His will. Following God. Following first His will and obeying Him and then letting God fulfill. They yielded their lives to the leading of God. And all the details worked out in God's way, in God's time. In God's time. The Bible says, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. It's interesting, isn't it? We may sit down and say, you know what, here's my little plan. I go back to when I surrendered to preach and kind of had my plan, the way it was going to be. I knew when I graduated from Bible college, I knew I was either going to New York or Texas. I've been to both places, but not to stay. I've been in Michigan the whole time after I graduated from Bible college. I don't know if Michigan's better or worse for it. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. The greatest thing that people can do to ensure a right outcome is to follow God's leading. A marriage that makes the will of God its priority is then bound, you're going to fulfill the will of God. If you make doing the will of God your priority in marriage, then you will fulfill the will of God in your life. So many things work out when we just take the right steps. Destinies are not accidental arrivals. They're the end result of steps taken on purpose. When people follow the will of God in their daily lives, the end of their lives will have a sense of fulfillment. When a couple follows the will of God in their daily lives, I'm talking about the mundane, teaching, rearing children, reading the scripture, going to church faithfully, when they follow the will of God in their daily lives, the end of their lives will have a sense of fulfillment. The Bible says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be" what? "Added unto you." You see, God leads through his word and through his Holy Spirit. In times past, God used angels to give direction and through dreams as well. The Holy Spirit will put thoughts and impressions in our mind and heart, always in harmony with the Word of God. But the Holy Spirit will impress us. You know, Joseph had an impression, an inside feeling, a gut feeling, "I just don't feel right about this." And then God guided him. The Holy Spirit gives us the guidance and sometimes puts desires in our hearts. And then we see other leading of God that goes in harmony, of course, always with the Word of God. God often uses circumstances to guide us. He did with Joseph and Mary. They're seeking his life. Now you go and flee to Egypt. But it was all part of fulfilling God's will. The important thing is that we're acting upon what we know the Lord is leading to us to do. One of the worst things a person can do is to sit idly and say, "I'm waiting for God to reveal his will." He's not going to do it. The old saying, if you want a job done, ask a busy person. Busy people get jobs done. The important thing is that we're acting on what we know the Lord is leading to us, leading us to do. Do what God wants us to do day by day, and all of a sudden you're going to find yourself, "Oh my goodness, I've been living for God as a young lady, and he wants me to bring his only begotten son into the world. I've been keeping myself pure as a young man and doing what's right, and my bride-to-be is going to have the Son of God." What happens when we do the will of God actively, we find ourselves fulfilling things in the will of God, not on our account. God working through us. If we're only outcome-oriented, many people today are just outcome-oriented, the whole contemporary thought process is outcome-oriented. If you're only outcome-oriented, we may do the wrong thing in order to reach our desired goal. Mary and Joseph took steps according to God's leading, and according to God's leading, none of what happened would have been their plan. I can guarantee it. But they took steps according to God's leading, and in doing so, always had Jesus where he needed to be. In Egypt. Out of Egypt. In Nazareth. As we seek to follow God's will in our daily lives, the Lord then fulfills his will through our lives. Remember the story of Abraham's servant, Eliezer, right? He was called upon by Abraham, commissioned to go get a bride for Isaac, Abraham's son. And he was to go back to the land of Ur, the Chaldees, to Abraham's kin to get a bride. Right? Go to the family reunion to get a bride. Anyway, no. A little different back then, okay? Abraham's extended kin to get a bride. He followed the will. Eliezer followed the will of his master. Didn't sit back and reason, rationalize. His master said, you go do this. And he said, I'll go. He followed the will of his master. And in doing so, committed his way to the Lord. And then God worked out the specific details. Speaking of the events that unfolded, Eliezer testified this. He said, I, being in the way, the Lord led me. One of the most powerful statements in Scripture. I, being in the way, not as an obstacle, but as a vessel, being where I'm supposed to be, when I'm supposed to be there, doing what I'm supposed to do, I being in the way, then the Lord led me. God never revealed to Eliezer every step of the way. He just said, you follow Abraham. Eliezer committed it to the Lord, and God worked out all the details. And he testified to that. Folks, are you in the way? Are you in the way? God never revealed, as I mentioned this past fall, God never revealed to me that I was going to be the pastor of Berrien County Baptist Church for 30 years. Who thinks of 30 years when they're 31 years old? I didn't. But I remember taking steps following the Lord's word in our daily lives, seeking God's direction, taking steps, following the Lord's guidance for service and ministries. And what happens? 30 years, amen? Couples that make following the will of God a priority will fulfill the will of God and then will be fulfilled from doing the will of God. We have an odd way of thinking today. People want to have fulfillment, whatever that is. Do what God says, and you know what you'll find? Fulfillment. I want happiness. If you know these things, happy are ye if you what? The happiness is the byproduct. Young people, here today, if you want to fulfill the will of God in your lives, do the will of God today. When you know what you should do based on the Word of God, you do it. And then you'll find yourself down the road, wow, I've been fulfilling the will of God. Following the will of God today will bring fulfillment tomorrow. Joseph ended up looking back. Back in Nazareth where he was able to teach Jesus carpentry. I'm glad Jesus became a man's man. Amen? Amen. He didn't teach him knitting. He taught him carpentry. Amen. They didn't look at Jesus and say, this guy's got a sissy, this must be the Savior. He was a man's man. I'm glad that. You know why? The Bible says he was called the carpenter's son. Isn't that interesting? Joseph and Mary could not. There's no way. They could have comprehended all that God was going to use them to fulfill. It's unimaginable. But they could comprehend. Go down for the census. Go to Egypt. Go back to Israel. Go to the northern part of Israel. Go back to Nazareth. Go down to the temple every year. Take your son and rear him in the right ways. Teach him. They could comprehend that. And what we have, as we look, is the fulfillment of the will of God through two people who followed the will of God in a practical way. You know, the scriptures do not record what happened to Joseph. It's kind of one of the sad things in being scripture is that it's just not there. What happened to Joseph? So it might seem like, well, they didn't get to see the will of God fulfilled together as a couple. Well, listen, I have a feeling that Joseph got to observe from heaven. Amen. It may have seemed like their work was not completed together, but then to see Jesus go to the cross painfully confusing for Mary, no doubt. But think of this. God working his will through Joseph and Mary. If Joseph was there when Jesus was crucified, we'd not have, woman, behold thy son, behold thy mother. The demonstration of care and compassion on his mother when he was suffering for our sins. See, Mary and Joseph fulfilled the will of God together, even though Joseph had already gone home, evidently. The will of God being fulfilled in a far broader sense than Mary could ever have imagined when Simeon told her that a sword would pierce her own soul as well. She didn't really quite fully comprehend until she saw Jesus on the cross suffering for our sins. The Lamb of God dying for the sins of the world, the will of God being fulfilled. God using two people, simple people, who followed the will of God. As people, individuals here today, or as couples, married couples, we cannot see the far-reaching effects of following and fulfilling the will of God, but eternity will reveal them. We never know how God is going to use what we do to impact someone that will impact someone, that will impact someone. I've illustrated before the many different people who just touched one life and God used it to reach so many more. We're looking at the story of Mary and Joseph from the point of recorded biblical history, and we know a lot looking back. But they were walking through the darkness, following the will of God as God was fulfilling his will. And that's what happens with us. There's times we got to go down to Egypt. There's times we got to move here or there and we may not understand why. There may be difficult circumstances that we're facing and we don't understand why. But what we need to understand is to do what God wants us where we are. And understand that will lead us to fulfilling what God wants. The important thing for us today is to walk in the will of God, even when we don't feel like it's very effective. Acting upon the teachings of the Word of God each day is the plan God has for us being used in fulfilling His will in general. In our walk, our own personal submission to God's will in everyday living. Quit saying, I think, I want. What does God want? What's God saying? In our relationship, as relationships with others, individually or as couples, incorporating what God has taught us, things that help us be fit to do God's will. In our example, setting the example for others around us. In our work, the conscious effort to honor God in the work we do, motivations and methods, attitudes as we do them. I've often wondered, the Bible doesn't say, so I'm not going to throw in my two cents. But I have a feeling that Mary didn't do a whole lot of grumbling. she was completely surrendered to God's will. I have a feeling that Joseph wasn't overly grouchy about having to do what they had to do. They were doing the will of God. The attitudes and atmosphere that we carry about us as we do the will of God. We don't know everything God's doing. God is doing something through your life. Do His will. In our giving, the giving of our resources so that God's will can be accomplished in and through us, in the lives of others as well. In our service, what we do for the Lord. I love the song. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Just, you know what? So I can guarantee you, as a young man, I never, ever, ever wanted to be in the limelight except as a goofball. I never wanted to be in the limelight. I don't crave, I gotta be the pastor in front of people. It's what God has led, and I endure it. I enjoy it. It's what God's led. You know what? Wherever we are, don't say, well, why am I got to go all the way down here to Bethlehem? Just follow the will of God and know God's using it to fulfill His will. Well, how come we got to go to Egypt? Just do it. God's fulfilling His will. You mean we got to travel all the way back up to Nazareth? Just follow the will of God and let God fulfill His will. You mean we've got to read the Bible every day with our kids? Yes. Follow the will of God. You mean we've got to go to church every week? Yes. Jim Whitman 4:13, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Fulfillment comes as a byproduct of following. Following God's will. Doing God's will or following God's will always precede fulfilling it. Doing or following will always precede fulfilling. Joseph and Mary, a great example of a Christian couple that followed and fulfilled the will of God. Look what God used them to do. Wow. But there's going to be a lot of wows in heaven with what God's used you to do. Who can tell what God will do through us, individually, all of us, together, as we will just do His will? I wrote this little poem several years ago. It's actually for a college graduation I spoke at, or high school graduation I spoke at, called My Goal. When my life is over, I will surely give account. So today I must contribute into heaven's bank account. There are so many fields of interest over which over time will not endure. Today I must engage myself in work that lasts for sure. Many dreams and goals have crossed my mind and through my parents too. Today I must pursue those dreams which bring God glory true. All I have to offer is what God has given me. Today I must mature those gifts, then use them faithfully. Some folks have sadly turned aside from God's will and don't care. Today I must be vigilant to guard against that snare. God's glory is my one main goal through words in every way. Today I must direct my steps that well done. He may say, following and then fulfilling. Our emphasis, the following. God's emphasis, the fulfilling. Let go and let God.